Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. God is good. So good. So good. He's so good. Hallelujah. You know, I know when there's trial and there's storms and there's things coming against you, it's always customary, if you will, or popular to talk about how bad it is. But we got to remember, we got to talk about how good God is. And you just pour it out. When something rises up, well, God's good. And see, it'll remind you as you start doing that. God's good. He's good. He's so good. He'll take care of me. He's got it. He's got it covered. Praise the Lord. Ain't no storm that can come against me that'll take me out. There ain't no trial that's going to come against me. It's going to make me fall. God's good, and He's with me. Praise the Lord. And if God is with you, who can be against you? There ain't nobody can be against you. There's nothing that can be against you. Praise the Lord. And so as you start doing that, you'll stir yourself up, and you'll find yourself getting happy in the midst of trial. Praise the Lord. You know, I wanted to use this example today. I was reading just a little bit about some of the apostles, actually a little bit about all of them this morning, you know, the apostles that followed Jesus. And you know, pretty much all but one of them was crucified. All but one of them faced some kind of horrible death. Praise the Lord. And you know, sometimes serving God, well, there's reasons for it, and that doesn't mean we're all going to face a horrible death and be crucified. Praise the Lord. One of them, they even say, was skinned alive, hallelujah, and beheaded. But praise the Lord. I was thinking about James, and you say, why do I say praise the Lord? We get there. But I was thinking about James. James said that he was preaching the gospel to this one. This is as the story goes. He was preaching the gospel to this one whatever ruler out there, and the ruler said, you know, you gotta renounce that stuff and stop and not be a Christian. You can't be talking like that. And when James refused, the guy was trying to save him. But when James refused, he decided to just pour it out on him. And so the history says that he was scourged. James was scourged. You know, that means he was beaten and whipped and bloodied. Hallelujah. He was beaten, whipped, and bloodied. And then they wouldn't nail him to the cross because they were going to crucify him. Instead of nailing him, they tied him, because when they tied him, it made him suffer for a little bit longer. It made him be up there. He was on. It said the history tells us that he hung on that cross for 3 days, preaching the gospel the entire time. Hallelujah! Glory to God. See, God doesn't leave His children, and even in a case like that, now that didn't mean most people aren't going to be martyred. You understand that? But even in the case of a person who's martyred, you know the Spirit of God comes upon them and gives them power that they didn't have before. And it was a sign and a wonder to the people to have a man hanging up there who served God, because he wouldn't renounce God, preaching about God to people who walk by. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that should stir us up, because that just tells you what the power of God is. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's no regular man that could do that. There's no regular man who's just living. But see, when God's working with you, praise the Lord, you can do whatever you got to do. Now, you got to say, you got to understand, and ain't none of us hang on a cross yet. I don't care what you've been through. You ain't been hanging on a cross being crucified. You ain't been scourged yet. Praise the Lord. We got laws against that stuff around here. Amen. And so we just got to understand, there ain't nothing you've been through that's that bad. So whatever you're going through, praise the Lord, you just turn around, you start preaching the gospel, you watch your life change. You watch your situation change. Glory to God. Were you excited to be in church today? Glory to God. You know, before we get right into the message, I want to talk a little bit about God's plan. You know, my wife was talking about it some. And, you know, God's plan wasn't revealed to me just overnight. For my life is what I'm saying. You know, we talk about Jeremiah 29:11 all the time. But God's plan was revealed to me after time, after time, after time of being faithful in church and serving and doing all these things that God would lead me to do. And when He would show me something, then my spirit would do it. And then He'd show me something else, and I would do that, and one step at a time. And then eventually God's plan became more and more and more to me. And see, it came over a period of time. So if you're in a place where you're like, well, what's God's plan for me? You just hold on. You just keep serving God. You keep coming to church. You keep being faithful. And God's going to reveal. He's going to speak something to you. And you won't even know that one little thing that He's going to speak to you is going to move you in a direction that opens doors that you never could have seen before. Praise God. And see, that's what's awesome about our God, is that He always leads us to the place of victory. He always leads us into that greater plan that He has for us. And aren't you glad for it? Amen. And we got faith in that. And then you say, how can I have faith? Well, the Bible tells me so. You know, and because the Bible tells me so, let's just have faith in that. Because what else are you going to have faith in? There's nothing else. You know, faith is sure. Faith isn't something that, well, maybe or maybe not. Faith is sure. Faith knows. I know as I stand before you today, I am absolutely positively sure of the power of God. There's no question to me about the power and the will and the design of God. As I look at the earth, I see it more and more. God reveals it to me more and more. Every single day as I live this life, I am more sure than I was the day before of the power of God. That's faith. See, not faith, or the opposite of faith is, I don't know. I don't really know. I don't really know what to do. See, Christians aren't supposed to live that way. We're supposed to live in faith. Amen? Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about, I call the message, seesaw faith. Seesaw faith. You know what a seesaw is? So what's a seesaw? It goes up and down, right? But see, it's not going to exactly be what maybe you even think it is. Maybe you think I'm just going to beat on you today. Praise the Lord. But that's not going to happen. I'm going to be nice to you today. I think. Well, I can't guarantee that, so praise the Lord. No, I'll be nice to you. And if not, have a brownie afterwards. You'll get over it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. They're good brownies, too. Hallelujah. I almost had to have one before church, but my wife wouldn't let me. Praise the Lord. I asked, didn't I? Who witnessed that? Who was that that witnessed that? Aunt Di, yeah, and John, yeah. Aunt Di, there she is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to we're going to start in 1 Peter 5, 6. Hallelujah. Seesaw faith. And I'm going to get to the title in a minute. I'm going to explain in a minute just what I mean. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord. And I don't know if you can see in this verse exactly what I'm talking about with seesaw faith. But notice, to humble yourself means to bring yourself low. It means to make... what you think of less importance, or to make yourself of less importance. And what is it here? That if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, if you humble yourself for his purpose, if you bring yourself low, your desires low, your wants low, if you bring what you think low and exalt his, what does it say here? That he may exalt you in due time. He's going to lift you up in due time. And see, that's what seesaw faith is. Seesaw faith is when you can say, you know what, I believe enough, I trust enough in God that I can see that in his word that he's going to do good things in my life. And that's okay that if I bring myself low, I can give up my desires for a time. I can bring what's important to me down so I can exalt God, because when I do that, he's going to turn around and he's going to exalt me in due time. And see, that's it. I was thinking as I was thinking about this, and we talked about this, somebody was talking about it last night at the picnic in Horry, but Newton's third law of motion. Does anybody know what that is? Now you're all going to think, wow, but Pastor Jeff's pretty smart. Sure? Are you sure he's a high school dropout? Praise the Lord. Well, I got Google too. Hallelujah. Newton's third law of motion. Where's Caleb? Do you remember, you know what it is, Caleb? No? You said it last night. It came out of your mouth. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Hallelujah. You know something that's interesting about Newton? He was a Christian. No, he was a Christian. So here he came up with this theory of motion. He understood this, that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Seesaw faith. Hallelujah. When you lower yourself, you exalt God, and then he exalts you. Hallelujah. And see, you understand that lowering yourself, lowering your ability, doesn't mean to say, oh, I'm worthless. That's not being humble. Saying, oh, my life doesn't mean anything. That's not being humble. You know, whipping yourself is like some religions do. There's literally, when we were down in Rio de Janeiro ministering down there, there's this one religious, it's a Catholic like temple thing or whatever, and they have these long steps that people crawl up. They literally crawl up these steps because they want to humble themselves. See, that's not humbling yourself. That's abasing yourself, and that's not exactly what God said. He said to humble yourself. He said, bring yourself down. You know, this society is a society that needs to learn how to be humble. Listen, it's not all about you. That's humbling yourself. Understanding that everything in the world doesn't revolve around you. Kids, understand this. When you graduate high school and you go out and get a job, you aren't going to make $20 an hour, and you shouldn't make $20 an hour. You need to go through a time of making less money and learn how to deal with bosses that aren't quite so nice. And you need to spend some time learning what the world is really like. You don't get everything just because, and I don't care if you went to college or not. You can go to college. That doesn't pay your dues. What pays your dues is when you do it time and time again. And see, that's exactly the same idea with God, is that you do lesser now. Maybe your job right now is to clean the toilets. Praise the Lord. But you don't know that by cleaning those toilets, someday you may preach to thousands. You don't know what God has in store for you. And so we find out God's plan as we do the little things, as we lower ourselves, as we, you know what? You know, I know I don't have much family time. We did this. We don't have much family time, but we're going to church anyway. We don't get to spend those times again. But it's more important that my kids know the importance of God in the house of the Lord and serving God. Praise the Lord. My kids have watched their father serve God with his entire heart. Now, I'm not saying I'm a perfect man. I'm not. But they've seen me give up family time so I could go travel and serve my pastor, so I could go do things. And they serve as well by allowing that, because they don't sit there and say, Daddy, where are you? And my wife doesn't say, I have to do all this work without you because you're gone. No, they sit there and they support me. They know that it's part of the plan of God for our lives. Hallelujah. And see, as we've done that, God has lifted us up. He's brought us out of where we are, and he's exalted us to a degree, you understand. And where we are is not where we're going to be, praise the Lord. We have to understand that it's important to understand that God, that it's important for God that we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, knowing that he will bring us up. It's not wrong to think that he will bring you up. But first, there has to be a humbling. First, there has to be a giving up. Sometimes you give up things in this life that you will never get back because you want to serve God more. Sometimes you do that, and that's okay. Praise the Lord. But he will lift you up in other ways. The question is, what will you lower in your life? What are you putting above God? See, people want their prayers answered. People want God to speak to them. They want the experiences that they see other people getting, but they're not willing to do what other people do. They're not willing to say, wait a minute. They want to know a real God, but they're not willing to lower themselves and spend time before that God or seek him or to go after him. Instead, what they do is they put their jobs more important to God. They put their family more important than God. They put all these things around them more important than God. And then they wonder why they don't have God in their lives. They're searching for a God who doesn't show up. And they say, well, then the Bible must not be true. But see, God said to humble yourselves, and he will exalt you. He will exalt you. We don't exalt ourselves. We don't have to exalt ourselves. We don't have to be like, oh, I'm so great, praise the Lord. We don't have to be going after it. We don't have to be looking for a badge, so to speak. God will give you the badge, amen? Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 2:30. We'll go all the way back to the Old Testament. We like to include the Old Testament because even though it's old, it's still good. Praise the Lord. We have anybody in here who's old but still good. I ain't going to look at anybody. Praise the Lord. You decide. Hallelujah. You decide. If you're old, but you can still decide, you're still good. You know, this message is a little bit different than what it changed on me this morning. It's a little bit different than what I was going to preach. I was going to preach just on honor, and there's going to be a lot in here about honor. But, you know, one of the things it says in the Bible is it talks about, I got it in my notes here. I got to look it up, if you don't mind, because I think this is important. I wanted to use this scripture, and now I get to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at this. It's don't pull it up or anything. Leviticus 19:32. Look at what it says here. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall rise before the gray-headed. When was the last time that you saw somebody young rise for somebody older who walked in? You know, we need to, that's why when we have picnics and stuff like that, that's why we say the older people, the older generation, they get to go first. Why? Because the Bible says to honor them, praise the Lord. And if the Bible says it, we're going to, amen? All right, praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever, but not now, the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Hallelujah. The word honor, as the Bible talks about it, means to make weighty, to fix a value on, to make something important or to exalt it. Whatever you exalt, whatever you lift up, that's what you honor. Praise the Lord. If you honor your wives, you want to know if you honor your wives? Because you make her the most important thing other than God in your life. That's how you honor a wife. Wives, how do you honor your husbands? You make them the most important thing in your life other than God. The second most important thing, because God's the first thing. If God's not the first thing, you're not honoring him first. That's how you honor, because you exalt, you make it weighty, you put value on it. And when something's got value on it, you don't throw it to the side, you don't cast it to the side. Well, we're going to talk today about honoring the Lord. Honoring the Lord is honoring the things of God, amen? And this is how he exalts us. Again, this doesn't deviate from that idea of seesaw faith. But as we honor God, how do we honor God? We honor God by honoring his word and doing the things that he says. You know, I've often heard it said that you're not a, you know, your Christianity isn't proven here. Christianity is proved how you lived outside of these walls. Here you get taught, built up, you get shown the word and stuff like that. You get shown how you can live and how you can live effectively. But what kind of Christian you are is not proven by church. What kind of Christian you are is proven by what you are outside of church. Praise the Lord. Now, oftentimes, what you are outside of church will determine whether or not you even go to church. Praise the Lord. But you understand that God, your character is not proven in the light. It's proven in the darkness. Hallelujah. And so all things that we do we honor God when in our thoughts? Do we honor God in our lives? Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus told us that there will be people that have gone to church. Essentially is what he said. There will be people in your midst that went there, and you will be surprised to not see them in heaven. Why? Because they came to church, but they didn't live it. I see the difference between just coming and living. You know, the Bible says that, or I've heard people say, that just because, you know, just sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car. And just like sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. Amen? Being a follower of Christ, and a follower of Christ is someone who adheres to his word and does what he says, or attempts to. You know, listen, in everything, you guys have to understand. And sometimes, you know, I preach bold. I would say most times I preach bold. We pray for that. That's good. That's the word. He wants me to preach bold. And we preach to an extreme. But you have to understand that there's balance to everything I say. You know, just because I'm hammering something doesn't mean that people are the worst people in the world. But we have to hammer it sometimes to get it out. Amen? You ain't going to drive a nail by lightly tapping it. You got to pound that sucker in. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to spike that long. Well, it's the same thing with people. If you want the word to get into, there's so much opposition out there. There's so many things out there that will pull at you all the time. Not because you're a bad person, but because you're human and because you want God. Amen. There is no person in here today that is here, maybe little kids because they came with their parents, but they still, everybody in here wants God on some level. I know that. Why are you sitting here? It was raining and you came anyways. It was storming. You're still here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You want God. I'm not coming down on you because you're a terrible person. No, you obviously want God. Hey, I don't care if you didn't come at all before. Maybe this is your first day. I don't know if we have any first time guests here. It doesn't matter. You came today. What matters? Make an endeavor. You know, so what we talk about, when we preach bold, when we preach strong, it isn't to come down on you and to make you feel worse about yourself. It's to stir you up and say, hey, wait a minute. This is serious stuff here. I ain't playing around. This ain't the Moose Club. Hallelujah. This ain't the other kind of clubs there are. Then what's that Swedish club? The Vikings club. Hallelujah. This ain't the Vikings. I ain't saying any of those bad. I don't know nothing about it. Maybe they're horrible. I don't know. I'm not talking about them. I'm just saying this ain't a social club. Hallelujah. We come here to get the word. We come here to get the Lord. Because when we get the word and we get the Lord, guess what happens? Our lives change to God. And when our lives change, we go out there and we change the lives of others. How? Because we show them a good God. We show them a good God. We don't just say God is good. Listen, there's a lot of Christians that say God is good and then turn around and prove that it's wrong by how they live. No, let's show the world that God is a good God. Why? Because he does stuff. God is real, but see, God doesn't work in hypocrites. Never did, he never will. A hypocrite is who says one thing and does the other. Praise the Lord. You can dress yourself up all nice and pretty. Hallelujah. But you can go out and live like the devil and prove that God didn't mean nothing to you. What you honor is what you raise up, what you exalt, what you make weighty, what you put value on. God says, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Listen, maybe you say, well, maybe I just don't honor God the way that God wants me to. Well, the Bible doesn't give us in-betweens. The Bible says you honor him or you despise him. One of the two. So if you're not honoring God, you are despising God. Who wants to despise God? I'm sure none of you do. you're sitting here today. Hallelujah. We came here today to hear about the Word, to be changed, to have God, to find out more about God. And he's telling us right here, honor me and I'll honor you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord. See, if you humble, if you lower yourself, if you make your stuff less important, I would quit jobs before I wouldn't come to church. Hallelujah. I would quit people before I wouldn't come to church for them. I'd give it all away because it ain't worth it. Do it because I want to honor the things of God. Because I love my Lord. Hallelujah. And that's why I pastor today. See, people don't understand, like, me pastoring is not like, oh, I desired to pastor, and so I did it, and I went and got a degree in it, and this is what God, no, it's not like that at all. I wasn't looking at pastoring at all. If you know anything about me, you know I hated talking in front of people. I tell people that, and they are perplexed by me even saying it. I recently said it to a family member. He said, well, you picked the wrong profession then. Glory to God. Well, that's the truth. If I picked it, but I didn't pick it. See, I didn't choose. I didn't say, God, pick me. What I did was, is I humbled myself to God, and not knowingly, he was going to put me somewhere where he wanted me to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you say, well, you know, why is it exalting you to become a pastor? Because I get to preach the gospel to his people. I get to watch lives be changed. We met with someone this week, and I, we spent 3 hours with somebody who was hurting this week and got to teach him the truth of the word. And we've seen that peace, the peace of God come on him. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing better than stuff like that. When you see somebody's life be pulled out of the gutter and then put in a place where they can be used, or so their lives can change, glory to God. There ain't nothing better than that, hallelujah. So I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you do in the world, you are going to do nothing near as important as preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Honoring the Lord is honoring the things of the Lord. Do you honor the tithe? God said to tithe. Do you honor, you know, the Bible says to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. He said to honor the Lord, honor the Lord. So do you despise the Lord by not doing it? Do you honor God by reading his word, by trusting his word? How about his ministers that he sends before you? You know, because my pastor is placed in my life by God, I esteem everything he says. I don't say that I necessarily even agree with everything he says. But everything my pastor says is weighty to me. And I take, I don't take it with a grain of salt and just cast it aside. I say, oh, yeah, that's his opinion. No, I look at what he says and I try to understand what he's saying. And I make it important in my life because I know that God has placed him there. Yes. Praise the Lord. There's people that say, they think the way we preach is suggestion. Well, if you think what we preach is suggestion, you need to go to one of those dumbed down churches, because this one is not preaching suggestion. We preach the word of God, ain't suggestion. It's the law of the Lord. It's his commandments. We preach the things that actually work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8:9 in the Amplified. We're going to look at it up here. Unless you have an Amplified, then go ahead and open to it. 2 Corinthians 8:9. You can open to it anyways and just read along. Understand, we're reading it in the Amplified, which pulls it apart a little bit more. Amen. Gets into the meat of the message. For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Progressively acquainted with the work or the revelation of the Lord is not a one-time shot. You don't go to church once, hear it, and you're done. You don't open your Bible once, read it, and it's done. You become progressively acquainted with God. As I even this week, as I was in the Word, yesterday, as I was in the Word, I had things flowing just into my spirit, out of the Word. I'm being progressively acquainted with him. Amen? Because that's the way God is, a progressive God. He has a progressive revelation God. As you get into the Word, as you go to church, you will know more today than you did yesterday. And in 10 years from now, you will have a lot more God knowledge than you ever did. Reading the same scripture over and over doesn't matter. His kindness and his gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that he was so very rich. Praise the Lord. Yet for your sakes, he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty, you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. What was that? Seesaw. Jesus knew. He had everything. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to Him. Jesus Christ was there at the creation because He created everything and everything was created for Him. And what did He do? He went from being God and being that, He came to earth to live like one of us. Why? So that He could exalt us. Jesus came so He could lift us up. Jesus' whole life was about getting us to this place of being abundantly supplied. And yet Christians doubt this every day. It's just because they don't read the Word. See, the Bible tells us that God, His entire purpose, this is progressive revelation, understanding that He came so that we could be lifted higher. Jesus isn't going to leave us down. Now, He came 2,000 years ago, but some of your lives, He just came into this last year. There's going to be people that will come in yet in this next year who still don't know this. And as they learn this, they're going to find out that God wants to supply everything for them. He isn't going to leave them orphans. He isn't going to leave them afraid. He isn't going to leave them alone. He wants to increase everybody, but it can only happen through His Word. And see, this is the thing. This is where the rubber meets the road, folks. You see, we come into church, and sometimes it's easy to come to church when you're broken. But sometimes what's harder is staying through once you've gotten so far. You know, because as things come up, you know, there's going to be temptation for you to not feel as excited as you once did about it. But we got to stir that up. Why? Because the revelation of Christ tells us that it ain't over yet. The revelation of Christ says it grows every single time. Well, I don't feel it growing. I never felt me growing as long as I even remember. I mean, I may have had, you know, sometimes people talk about growing. For the most part, though, I couldn't have told you, hey, I grew an inch last year. I didn't this year, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't tell you that when I've been growing. I didn't know it, but I did anyways. Well, the same thing is with us spiritually. Why would we think it works any different? As you come to church, as you read your word, as you pray, as you live a Christian life, you grow. You open your word and you read one scripture, you say, how did that help me? I don't know how it helps you, but you grew. Something in you grew. There's something that God put in there. There's a nugget that's on the inside of you now. There's a seed that's just, the Bible tells us that the Word is a seed. And as we put that in us, that seed, if it's planted into the right kind of ground, it's going to grow. Praise the Lord. Now, if it's going to plant it in the wrong kind of ground, it isn't going to grow. Doesn't matter who you are. But see, as long as it's planted in the right kind, we decide what kind of ground it's going to be. We till the soil. We break up the clumps. Amen? Do you know what I'm saying? The clumps on our heart. What did you think was right before that you know is not right right now? You can't have the world and have God too. It doesn't work that way. And what I mean by that is the things that the world does. If by and large the world's doing it, or if you came out of that and you see that God's different than that, and you can't have the things, you can't be wishy-washy fence sitters. You can't do it, because if you sit on the fence and you're in the world all week and you try to come in and be a Christian on Sunday, it's not going to do you any good. It will do you no good. The Word, the Bible tells us that the Word will have no effect in you. It will have no effect in you. That means it's ineffective. That means that God's Word, the eternal Word of God, will do nothing in you. Do you understand what I'm saying? We decide the type of soil we are. We got to churn that soil up, break up the clay, let it be good ground for the Word to get planted in us and grow and sprout into something that means something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How do we have testimony? We have testimony through the power of God working in us as we work with Him. Amen? Turn with me to James 3:13. Hallelujah. God is good. He's so good. You know, my wife's right. You know, at any given time, if people had any idea what church was all about, if they had any idea what the Word of God was all about, you couldn't get in these churches. You couldn't even get in the door. And yet people will pass it up for the most ridiculous reasons. Praise the Lord. I want to be careful because I don't know if there's anybody in here. I don't want to just come down on people. But literally one week, and I'm looking around, see any. So this isn't you. And if this is you, well, then I didn't know it was you, and that's your fault, not mine. But if somebody came to us one week and said, yeah, so-and-so wasn't here this week because there was a barbecue. So you that shows you the importance to that of that person of God. Now, I am not saying that you have to be in church every single Sunday. You can never go on vacation. You can never, there's nothing that could ever come up. But if by and large, if everything else pulls you away from God, or if you can be so quickly removed because of a barbecue, then you're not honoring God. You're placing those things as more important than God. See, people all the time, they look at Adam's sin and they think, oh, Adam was so terrible that he didn't listen to God. People aren't listening to God all the time. People come to church and they don't listen to God at all. I'm not saying that every single person, I'm not saying you're a horrible person, praise the Lord. I'm just saying that we have to always check our motives and what we're doing, and we have to decide, wait a minute, is what I'm doing honoring God? Am I putting God first in my life? Am I lifting him up? Am I exalting him? Because he can't exalt you. See, the law of motion works whether or not we like it to or not. Praise the Lord. Because there's another law in motion that says objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects without motion don't, they're not. I think that's a law of inertia. Praise the Lord. Don't ask me how I know, but I do know that one. And it's really funny how I knew. I'm going to tell you. Hallelujah. I had a teacher once tell me that you need to, and said that if you don't, and she also said that you need to know how to spell inertia. This was great. It was just a substitute teacher. And I didn't like the substitute teacher. But she said, you need to know this, and you need to know how to spell it. And I'm like, when on earth am I ever going to need to know how to spell the word inertia? First, much less what it is. Amen. I'm using why it is now. But I'll tell you, one day I was sitting at coffee, because I used to go out to coffee all the time. And I was sitting at coffee, and somebody around me was doing a crossword puzzle. And they turned, they said, hey, does anyone know how to spell inertia? And instantly I thought, man, I wish I could go back and see that teacher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I knew how to spell it. I knew what it was for. But you understand, when you set things in motion, sometimes you can't stop it. This is why sometimes we can pray for somebody who's sick and not have the result. It's not because God didn't want it. But if they set in motion by the words constantly that they're sick and they're going to die and they're never going to get over it, I can't pray that. I can't put a stop in there with my prayer. My prayer is not powerful enough. How do I know that? Because Jesus' prayer was powerful. His own hometown, they wouldn't receive him as Lord, and because of that, he said he could therefore do no mighty works, except he laid hands on a few sick. And who are the ones he was laying hands on? Are the ones who would receive him, that said it would work. And see, the same thing is if we go around and I'm always defeated, I'm always poor, or whatever bad attitude you always take, that's what you will live in. I can't pray that out of you. Praise the Lord. It's like I've also said to people, I can't counsel people that don't come to church. Why? Because it doesn't do any good. If you can't come to church and get the word, I have less ability when you sit in that office with me than I have right now. Why? Because the anointing of God. Now, the anointing of God meets me in a counseling appointment. But what I'm saying is if somebody won't change their lives, if they won't make the steps to change their lives, I cannot help them. And all it is wasting my time to do it. It does not help them. Not at all. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the truth. James 3:13. Did you find it? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Hallelujah. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Bitter envy and self-seeking is essentially, the reason I included these scriptures here is because these are essentially what we mean by exalting yourself. When you have bitter, the only reason somebody has bitter envy in them is because they want something that somebody else has. They want, that's exactly what this whole liberal idea out there of teaching us that you deserve what somebody else has earned, that's exactly what this is. See, if you just learn how to serve God, you don't have to look at what somebody else has. You don't have to look at somebody else has. And it's foolishness to do so. They say they want to steal from other people because somebody should have something. That's not the way things should be. That's not the way God said. God said that if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah, amen. That's what the Bible says. If you don't work, you don't eat. So that means you got to do something, amen? Now, I'm not saying that we don't take care of people and stuff like that. Of course you take care of people. But I don't agree with this whole, like, and God doesn't agree with the whole you just give people whatever they want because they deserve it just for existing. You don't deserve nothing just for existing. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Just because you're here doesn't mean that you deserve to get. But people see, what happens is this idea gets people, and they've turned the whole wealth of this nation, they've turned it into an absolute joke because people are sitting there saying that, first of all, people despise people with money just because they have money. There's no reason to despise someone just because they have money, for God's sakes. one of God's anointed men of God, Solomon, was the richest man in history. God made him rich. The Bible tells us it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. God gives us the power to get wealth, and yet you're going to look at somebody who God blesses as somebody who's bad because they have something? Listen, just because the amount of money you have, I've known people with nothing that are worse people than anybody I've ever met before. I'm not saying that all people who are poor, you know, don't twist what I'm saying, but you understand what I mean. Like, just because you have money or don't have it doesn't make you a good person or a bad person. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the truth is all these people, and this just shows you where the bitter envy and the self-seeking is in their heart. Because any one of these people, if they were just handed $1 million, they wouldn't reject it. You know, we have politicians. I ain't going to use any names, but we have politicians that sit there. Hallelujah. But we have politicians that sit there. There's politicians that even ran in this election that didn't make it. Thank the Lord. But they ran in this last election and didn't make it. And they're sitting there talking about how much the rich have to give to the poor. And they just sold one of their side homes. They just sold for $29 million. I didn't see them dumping that into the poor. You know, our last president, praise the Lord, he ran on all this stuff too about how we gotta give to the poor. Do you know that they give a certain stipend, a certain amount of money to presidents every single year that aren't president anymore to run offices and stuff like his? Do you know that his request for money was more than any other U.S. president still living? The same president that say you gotta give to the poor, and yet he takes like $300,000 more than any other president. Why? That's exactly the mindset in these people. See, what they are doing, these people, all these people out there in politics, and I'm not saying that Republicans, Democrats, there's a bunch of dirtbags in all of them. Hallelujah. This is why we got to vote according to God and not according to what we see or what we say or what they say. Hallelujah. Well, what I'm saying is when there's bitter envy and self-seeking, and you say, well, how does this have anything? Because this is the mindset of America. This is the mindset of this country. This country is trying to be pulled apart into communism because people won't go back, turn back to the roots of what this country was founded on. People don't realize capitalism. This country was founded on the very principles of God, and it will not survive unless it continues in those principles. You see it being pulled apart, and it isn't because of what they're doing. Look at this state. This state is a wonderful example of policies that have done nothing but hurt. But people still put these people back in office. Why do they do that? Because they don't know any better. They don't think right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. If you don't like Donald Trump, I can tell you at least one thing he did. He gave me the right to sit here and say stuff like this without being worrying about somebody coming and taking it. Not going to say it's always going to be there. Next president might take it, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I should be able to say whatever I need to say because, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Praise the Lord. See, somebody's got to be taught right. I'm not talking about siding with, you know, whatever. But listen, there's something about earning your life and seeking God and doing what's right. If you follow God perfectly, you won't lose anything. You will never go hungry. You will never go without. You won't die of some sickness early on. You will live to a ripe old age if you follow God perfectly. Not all of us do that. I'm not saying I do that. I'm saying an idyllic world. But we need to do as much as we can to live according to the plan of God. Because when we do that, the more we do that, the more we live happy. The more we live joy. The more we live supplied. What did the last scripture I read to you said? By his poverty, you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. That was the desire of God from the beginning. This is how he created us. Hallelujah. So why would we reject that? No, that's exactly what we want. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I couldn't get past verse 14 very quick, but we got some time. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. That wisdom, what bitter envy and self-seeking, the idea of following principles, this idea of doing those things, praise the Lord, that are bitter envy and self-seeking. Look at this. That wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. It's demonic. That means with demonic spirits. That means you're siding with the devil, if you didn't know. For where envy and self-seeking exists, look at this. Confusion and every evil thing are there. I want to pause. And I want you to think, if you watch any news in the last 6 months, what's been happening out there? Envy and self-seeking. People are confused. They don't know who to follow. They don't know who to believe. They don't know who to trust. And what's happening? They're burning buildings. They're burning businesses. They're looting places. People are fighting. You can't peacefully protest anymore because somebody has got to throw something at you or punch you or kick you. And there's all these fights. Why do you think all this stuff is happening? Bitter envy and self-seeking. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing. What is all that stuff that is exalting man above God? That's saying that, God, I don't trust you enough, so I've got to believe the government. I got to trust the government to give me this thing and that thing. I got to trust the government for everything. Listen, the government, everything the government does fails when it's doing stuff it shouldn't do, right? The government was meant to do one thing. This is what the greatest thing about our country is that the government was meant to just basically give us the guarantee of the rights that we already have. And they've taken that and they've expanded it into making it into something that it was never intended. Be. Now we're going to make you do this. Now we're going to make you do that. Oh, you can't say this. You can't say that. See, all of that stuff is of the devil. And people don't think that there's a spiritual connection, but there's a huge spiritual connection. Because exactly what the devil is intended by that is to rip the ability for me to stand here and preach the truth to you. Why? Because when he does that, people don't get saved. When people don't get saved, they don't get into heaven. They don't get into the blessed plan of God. They don't find everything God has for them. See, the purpose is all there, but it's underlying. And see, that wisdom, the wisdom to understand this, of course, comes through Scripture. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to say this, you know, because this the Scripture, for where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there, okay? Here's an interesting fact. The brother, does anybody know the brother of James the Apostle? It was Apostle John. He's the one that wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, okay? John, James 3:16 says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Does anyone know what John 3:16 says? "For God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave so that man could be built up." Do you see the similarity? Isn't that the Lord just pointed that out this morning? John, the brother, and the same John 3:16, James 3:16. I'm not saying that this is like some, you know, we're not going to build a religion based around this, but there's a correlation there. That exactly what I'm preaching. That where there's bit when you exalt yourself, envy and self-seeking exalts yourself or exalts man, and it lowers God because it doesn't trust God. And that's where confusion, everything. But God wanted us, we heard in Corey last night that Jesus was the light of men. He was the life of men, and he was the light to that life. When we talk about the light, we understand that it's showing people the way. Jesus came to show us the way God intended us to live. He came to show us everything that God did, that God gave us, hallelujah, and how to work it and how to use it, amen? Well, that's pretty exciting to me. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall ever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life." I posed this question last night. I'll pose it today. When does everlasting life start? It starts at the moment you receive Jesus. That's where you get guaranteed all those things. It starts that moment. It doesn't start when you die. It didn't start at your birth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, glory, hallelujah. Verse 17, that's free, no charge. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Look at this. This is what comes from God. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. I love that. Willing to yield. Well, husbands and wives, this will help you a lot. How? Because wisdom from above tells you to yield. Be willing to yield. But this is what I want. Yield. Yield it to your spouse. This is what I want. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things that I want that I don't take because I know that it wouldn't bless my wife. Now she's requiring it of me because there's a lot of things that would bless her that she yields to me. That's how a husband and wife live in peace. Hallelujah. How do people live in peace in church? Well, so-and-so said this to me. Well, you yield to them. They threw rocks at Jesus. He didn't do anything bad. They spit on him. They slapped him. They punched him in the face. They whipped his back, scourged him. They nailed him to a cross, bloody, beaten. The Bible tells us he was beaten so bad he didn't even look like a man anymore. And yet he answered them not a word. He didn't curse them. He said, Lord, forgive them. What happens when someone does something bad against you? Lord, forgive them. Yield. Humble yourselves, and in due time, God will exalt you. What happens when somebody is name-calling you and they're doing things that are just horrible? Yield. Well, we were talking about honor. Let's look at the Bible. What about your parents? What if your parents were the worst people on the earth? God said to honor your father and mother. That doesn't mean that you accept abuse. I'm not saying that. But sometimes, you know, just because of their status as your parents, you need to just give them a break. You need to just yield to them. And I'm not saying that, you know, yielding doesn't mean you go do stupid things. Yielding doesn't mean like, okay, well, my wife or my husband really wants me to go to this bar and get drunk with them. That's not yielding to your spouse. That's calling being stupid. What it's talking about is maybe your wife wants to watch a show that you don't want to watch. Praise the Lord. Sometimes the biggest fights will start over stupid stuff like this. Maybe your wife wants a kitchen a certain color, or the bathroom a certain color, or the living room a certain color that you don't want. What do? You get painting that bathroom. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If it blesses, you know, there's a saying that I was always taught, and I love it, but it say, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Ain't that the truth? Let's make mama happy. Because I'll tell you what, mama keeps you happy when you keep her happy, amen? And that's the thing, with husbands and wives, that they learn to live according to this. You know, people say that marriage is just looked at wrong, and that's why it's done wrong, and that's why it don't work out. If husbands and wives always lived according to the word, there would never be divorce, ever. That doesn't mean that if people are divorced or wrong, it just means that somebody wasn't doing the word. Maybe you didn't even know. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you know. But the wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Do I even need to explain those things? I mean, just look at what's happening in the world. Is that what we're seeing? The wisdom of people fighting back and forth and saying, you know, you got to have this and I got to have this and you can't have this and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, if you're this race, you're not acceptable anymore because this race hurt this race before. No, that's all garbage. See, the thing about God is you stop. You don't sit there and keep going back to the past. You stop. The Bible says that when we're born again, behold, all things become new. Well, brothers and sisters, if you want things to become new, then you need to be born again. And if you want to accept a relationship, you want a relationship between two people to be born again because it's been dead, you need to make all things new. And how do you make all things new? You don't keep bringing up the stinking past. Hallelujah. It isn't going to fix anything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You know, and just to say this isn't to bash anybody, but all races, all kinds of different people have been in slavery. Some of them much country. Now, I'm not saying that it was a good thing that there were slaves in this country. It absolutely wasn't. I don't agree with slavery. I don't agree with segregation. But I'm going to tell you that there was all kinds of people. Ask the Jews who sat in slavery for 400 years to the Egyptians. You understand, there's every single nation that has ever existed has had slavery. But there are people in this country that are trying to tell you that for some reason, Western ideals that caused this. It isn't a Western ideal because this country has only been here for a few hundred years. And before that, it was being established. All this stuff came from other places. So don't let anybody start tearing apart this country because this country does so many things wrong. No, this country was established by the Lord. He didn't establish slavery, but he established this country. And it was built on the principles of God. And that is why it was successful for so long. But the minute we give that up, I'm going to tell you right now, is the minute this country goes to hell. And that's exactly what is trying to happen. It matters, people. This stuff matters. How we live is we live as Christian. Is your Christianity more important than your politics? There's a lot of people that's not so. There's a lot of people that will vote because of their color or because of their background or because of what union or whatever they're affiliated with than they will because of what God said. Praise the Lord. We don't vote according to any of that stuff. You need to vote according to God. Why? Because that is the only way that people are set free. They aren't set free by the... Oh, glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know where all this is coming from today. Honestly, I woke up nice today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know where all this... Honestly, I don't. It just... When the Spirit comes upon me sometimes, it's just things that got to be said. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll share brownie afterwards. Hallelujah. Now look at this, verse 18. This is so important. I know it took us a while to get through these, but we're breaking it down, amen? So you got to dig into the... You know, if you just... Yeah, my mom has a dog. She has a little wiener dog. You know those... Miniature wiener dog, right? Or is it just a wiener? I don't know. It's a wiener dog. You know what I mean? It's longer than it is tall. A lot longer than it is tall. Amen? Praise the Lord. But this dog loves toast. Peanut butter toast? Buttered toast. Loves it. Loves toast. She's a carboholic. She's my sister. Hallelujah. She is my sister. She's born on the same day as me. That's why mom bought her. Hallelujah. She's my buddy, Daisy. Daisy's a sweet, precious dog. She gets excited when you come around, you know, just like all dogs. But she's a good dog. But she loves toast. Hallelujah. But you know, when this dog gets to toast, she just swallows the whole thing whole. She didn't take time. She didn't break it apart. She didn't like, she's not seeing what kind of flavor this has on this side and this side. No, she doesn't even know what it tastes like. She just knows that she better get that real quick before somebody else gets it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you know, that's what we do with the word. We want to break it apart. We want to get into it. We want to read it. We want to understand what it says, not just throw it on the surface and say, oh, the Bible says this, so it's not, you know. No, we want to look at it and see what it says. Amen? Glory to God. Just like Daisy doesn't. Galatians 5:24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, the Bible says to take up your cross daily and follow him. Do you know what that means? It doesn't literally mean that we nail ourselves to a cross, people. It means that we crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. When the passions and desires are of God. He gave us the ability to experience emotion and passion and desire. God is the most passionate romantic that ever existed. Just look at all of creation. Hallelujah. You know, people like being married. They love things like honeymoons and stuff like that. And all that stuff is good. But God created that. Hallelujah. He was the one that had enough creativity to come up with that. And said, here, we're just experiencing it. Saying, hey, that's pretty good. But God created it. Hallelujah. Amen. There's so much more that goes into it when you create it. Amen. Yeah. See, passions and desires are not wrong for us to experience and to feel. But to live on them is wrong. And whenever those passions and desires from the things of God, then we need to crucify them. That is what the Bible means by crucifying the flesh. It means to put down. If something is pulling you away from God, and listen, I do this with my life all the time. I'm not saying I do it perfectly, because there's a lot of times where I fail miserably at it. And then I have to turn it around and see what there's a lot of times where I'll be going along and all of a sudden something that has been perfectly fine for me to do. And I just find myself doing it a little too much. Maybe it's a video game. Maybe it's a show that you're watching. Maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's a relationship. And you just find yourself focusing on it just a little too much. Yeah. And what are you noticing? You're noticing, well, I haven't spent as much time with God lately. I haven't sought the Lord. I haven't praised him lately. I haven't done these things. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? So this is where crucifying the flesh comes in. It just comes in and says, you know what? No. This is what true fasting is. It's not that we have to fast. You know, the Jews had to fast according to the law and stuff like that. And it's not that we have to fast for 40 days and 40 nights like Jesus did. No, what fasting is living a fasted lifestyle. It means sometimes there's going to be things that aren't good for you, so you put them down. Sometimes you put them down for a while. Sometimes you put them down forever. Whatever it has to happen, you do. Praise the Lord. You know, it's like... And I'm not picking on anybody in here, but I used to be a heavy smoker. You know, and I'm just going to use this example just to show you how. One cigarette won't hurt you, but a lifetime of smoking them will. And so, the understanding of that is you like, even though in of itself, and then kids, don't get me wrong, I think even anyone smokes in here, they would tell you, don't do it. You know, I'm not saying that it's good, but I'm just saying that one isn't going to destroy your life. Now, I'm talking about a natural, maybe that was a bad example because we do have kids in here, talking about a natural in the body. You understand what I mean? Like one Twinkie ain't going to kill you. One ho-ho ain't going to kill you. But if you live off of them, it will. Amen. The same thing. It doesn't have to just be something that we point to that some people like, some people don't. It could be a thousand different things. You know, one video game is, but playing them all the time, it might. Why? Because it screws with your head. It messes up your thinking. Yeah, I knew somebody, by the Spirit of God, I told them, because they were having problems with their child. They were having problems with their child, lashing out all the time. And by the Spirit of God, I was sitting there talking to him, and I said, watch the video games that they're playing. Come to find out later, one of the video games that this young kid was playing is one of the worst ones that no adult should play ever, not once. But it was Grand Theft Auto. Which basically, the whole premise of the game is that you go around and you steal cars, but in doing so, you can kill people. In doing so, you can actually, in one part, and I'm going to be graphic here for a minute, so little kids, close your ears, but you can get a prostitute, you can do what you do with them, and then you can kill her and steal her money. You can do this in the video game, and this person allowed their kid to play this game and wonder why they're lashing out. See, so a lot of times, most problems, have to go very far. You don't have to dig very deep before you find the answer. Right. See, that's the thing. People have all these problems in the world. All you got to do is just, well, what are you watching? Yeah. We don't watch rated R movies in our house. Yeah. We make a rule as a rule. I mean, every once in a while there would be a rated R movie that's rated because of maybe, what's that? Passion of Christ or something like that because of the graphic detail, you know, where it's not. But when it's full of cursing and it's full of sex and nudity and it's full of all these things, a Christian has no business watching that garbage. No business watching that garbage. And if you watch it, you repent before God and stop that garbage. Because all that does is put stuff into you. I remember this, because I used to listen to some pretty hardcore music. Oh, looking at me today, you know, I used to be the full gamut. I had my hair bleached and spiked, and I wore guy liner, and I painted my fingernails. Oh yeah, and I was goth. I was more goth than you were. Hallelujah. And all this stuff, you know, I listened to this hardcore music, and I listened to all hardcore, like hardcore metal and hardcore rap, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm not judging anybody's music, but I'm just saying this. I went back and listened to some of the stuff that I listened to, and I remember this one song in particular. There was this one bad band. I'm not going to say what they are because it doesn't really matter. So you probably don't know them anyways. But there was this one song that actually, interestingly enough, it was entitled Can't Speak, the song. And song entitled Can't Speak, and because you know the Word of God has so much to say about our speech and that we should and speak against things. But one thing I remember sitting on a bar stool and I kept popping quarters into the jukebox, listening to the song over and over and over again. And the song said, it kept saying in this one part, it said, I keep thinking of suicide. And that's what I kept playing over and over, and as letting that soak into me, and I actually found myself starting, you know, because I was very suicidal back in the day too. And so you see, what we put in is what we're going to get out. What we honor is how we're going to be filled. Amen. What's important to us is what's going to make up our lives. And so we can't, you know, I couldn't, and I was a Christian in the sense that I had accepted Jesus once, and the extent I had gone to church a few times. You know, in my mind, if you had asked me, I was a Christian. But I put garbage in all the time, and I'm not just talking about music. I'm talking about I hung out with people that were, and I hate to say it this way because people don't like to hear it, but they were garbage people. They were people that were constantly doing things that were opposite of what I was doing. Praise the Lord. Now I look at people and their kids. Sometimes we monitor every person our kids spend time with, everyone they do, and they don't spend time with very many kids just because our schedule is so busy. But I'm saying outside of here. And there's a few church friends that they, you know, like especially like Ezra, because Mark's a little bit older, he can decide for himself. But that's not to say that we don't watch it, you know what I mean? But there's a few church friends that Ezra has and stuff, and so every once in a while she gets to hang out with them. But by and large, we're not just, you know, anyone from school, they're just having a party or whatever. We watch that stuff. Why? Because I'm going to tell you what. There's in the Jamestown schools, I know that in at least a couple of the schools right now, they have several kids that are living as transgenders today. Elementary school. Yeah, because their parents are foolish. Well, I certainly ain't going to let my kid go be around that garbage. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. because it's not of God. It's not right. There was a time when that was actually considered what it was, a mental illness. And now they're promoting it. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. And there's studies. And this is the thing. If you do studies on it, if you actually look at the actual studies and not just listen to all the garbage rhetoric that's out there, but you actually listen to the studies show us that even once they have these surgeries, most of the time, all it does is cause more problems. Actually, all the time, all it does is cause more problems. It never helps them. And they find out that there's like a whole study of people that regretted getting the surgery. Of course, now their bodies are mutilated and they can't go backwards. But see, again, the nation accepts that, and, well, it's good. But it's not. Oh, Jesus, I got so much. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to give you an example of Jesus real quick. John 13:1. We're getting fixing the clothes here. Just got to make it through these scriptures. And most of these, we're going to read several scriptures, but most of them are just telling the account. So they're just giving you the background and stuff. So start there, John 13:1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That blesses me. He loved them to the end. And, you know, this part here that we're about to read just shows you how much he loved them. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, you know, he was willing. This is why it's emotional to me, because the man who would betray him, it didn't matter. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that there was not Peter, but he knew Judas was going to betray him to death. Oh, praise the Lord. How bad has someone been to you? I don't think that bad. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs to only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus washed the feet. He lowered himself as if coming to earth wasn't enough, as if living as a man wasn't enough. Walking day in and day out with people who were sinners and people who didn't want to serve God, as if it wasn't enough. As if walking on earth with people, many of whom would never receive him and never even care about what he was about to do, as if that wasn't enough. He knelt down and he washed their feet. Praise the Lord. He lowered himself because he knew that God exalts. Exactly what he did when Jesus died. They thought it was over. When he was put into the tomb, they thought it was over. When Jesus was in hell, the devil thought it was over. But when he rose again, and he went to heaven, and he placed that blood next to God on the throne, and he paid for every debt. When he paid for every single debt, every bad thing you would ever do, every person who spit in his face, every person who beat him, every person who would ever look at the Lord and say, I don't want you. When he paid that debt, he did that for us all, praise the Lord. It's amazing to think of the love of the Father. and the love of Jesus to do that. And to know that there's people that teach people that you don't have to live after him anymore. It makes me sick to think about that. To think about that there would be ministers that would tell people, there's actually ministers that say you just go live how any way you want, and you don't even have to live following Jesus or following his ordinances, or you don't have to listen to what he says. He says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. In 1 John 2:6, it says that he who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. Let's not be exalting. Let's lower ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt us in due time. To walk with God is to walk in his power. To walk in his power is to walk just as Jesus walked. God expects us to walk this earth with power, being examples, being living examples. But the only way to do that is to first lower ourselves in our own sight, in our own mind. Say, you know what? My will isn't as important to his will. I will exalt the Lord, and in due time, he will exalt us. Amen?